This is Christ the Healer. There are a couple classes that we divided up into two parts, and this is one of them. And the reason why sometimes we teach it twice is because we just need to get more information over to you. We need more time to teach on the subject. And this is a big subject, and it's an important subject. And one of the reasons why it's so important is because there is a lack of understanding in the body of Christ about the healing of God. And so you are going to be the faithful that carry the truth of the message about the healing to the world, because you'll be able to tell them what the truth is. There are a lot of believers that think that God will teach them lessons through sickness. So God allows things, or more than even God allowing things, that God causes things, that God causes sickness. But God does not cause sickness. He will allow it, but He does not cause it. And there is a very big difference between those. So if somebody does not know where sickness comes from, and if they think sickness is from God because God is causing it, then they don't stand against it and they don't resist it, because they don't know that they should, because they don't want to stand against God. But actually, none of that makes sense, because you'll still have Christians that will go to the doctor. Well, if they think God is causing them to be sick to teach them a lesson, then why are they going to the doctor to get better? Do you see how none of that makes sense? None of that makes sense. So what we're going to do in this class is look at, what does the Bible say about healing? Because that's our ultimate source, is what does the Bible say? Not what does tradition say, or not even the church's tradition say about healing. So there are a lot of Christians that don't know they can be healed. But see, after this course, you're going to know what the truth is based on the Word of God, and you're going to be able to teach people to set them free. You're going to be able to point them to Scriptures and show them what the truth is, tell them what God's heart is towards them, free them up from some wrong thinking, and that will be a blessing. So that's what we're going to do in this course, is look at the healing power of God and God's will in healing. And specifically, we're going to look at that it is God's will to heal all. That's His will. His will is that none would be sick. But even though we say that, it's His will that none would perish. But we know that some still do. It is God's will for all to be healed. And we're going to go over that. And then also, it's important for you to know that not only is it God's will for all to be healed, but it is God's will for you to be healed. Now, another trick of the devil is, even once somebody does get the knowledge that it is God's will for all to be healed, sometimes the enemy will sow other lies like, yes, it's His will for all to be healed, but not you, but you're an exception, or you've been too bad or too evil, or you sinned in that area just for too long. These little lies like that. And so what we want to do is get rid of those lies. It is God's will for you to be healed, for you to be healthy, for you to be whole, and for you to know that so that you can teach others that, so that you can tell them they're not an exception to God's will, but that they can be healed, and it is God's will for them to be healed. So that's what we want to look at in this class. And it's important, because you're going to have information that a lot of people don't have. And I'm not just talking about people in the world. I'm talking about other Christians, other believers. There's this church after church full of people that don't know what God's Word says about healing. So this is an important subject for us. So I've written a couple scriptures, and those are going to be three of our primary scriptures for this entire course. So those would be good scriptures for you to learn, and you can follow along with me. So it is God's will to heal all. And the provision for healing was made by Jesus. And then I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2:24. Says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed." Now notice that. That's past tense, isn't it? So by His wounds, you were healed, which means everything that Jesus needed to do for your healing has already been done. Everything that Jesus needed to do for the healing of that person you're going to pray for has already been done. Just as we can say that salvation, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, as we know, that scripture, whosoever, so it applies to everyone, believes. That scripture applies to everyone. Everyone can receive salvation, but they don't receive the work of the salvation that Jesus paid the price for until they believe and they receive. Now, the same goes for healing. Just as even though salvation was done for everyone, not everyone partakes of it until they believe and receive. And the same is true for healing. The work of healing was done by Jesus for everyone. But only those that believe and receive partake of that blessing and promise. So they've got to believe and receive, just as for salvation. So the way we get saved is a model for a lot of the other blessings to come into our life also. So for someone to be healed, they need to believe and receive. Now, there are a couple different ways that healing can come to us. One primary way is through our own faith, and our faith is based on the Word of God. So it would be faith in God's Word. By reading the Word and believing the Word, for instance, by his wounds you were healed, meaning by the stripes that Jesus Christ took, there's healing in it for you if you'll believe that. That's a way and a primary way of receiving healing. Another way of receiving healing is by the laying on of hands. And that's when someone ministers healing to another person. That may be you praying for someone else or someone praying for you. And we know that at the end of the Gospels, it tells us and we're commissioned to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And that was a commissioning that Jesus gave to us before he went up to heaven. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we see the laying on of hands, but also the ability to read the Word, believe the Word, and believe in the healing and receive without anyone else, just you and God, based on the work that Jesus did. So those are two primary ways that healing comes to us. Now let's go ahead and look at another scripture, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. And if you don't have these underlined in your Bible, these should be, because anytime you minister healing to someone, you're going to want to refer back to these, because there's something about the Word of God. And what is it about the Word of God? Well, we're really told what it is about the Word of God, that his words are life and health, and we'll go into that later. His very words are life and health. So it is very effective when you want to minister to someone healing, for you to show them in the Word of God where it speaks about healing so that they can be blessed by the Word themselves. Matthew 8:17. In order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, there's also a reference to that in Isaiah, because in Isaiah, it says something similar to that. But here we see three different places in Scripture where it talks about sickness being taken away and healing being provided for by what Jesus did for us. That's three different places in Scripture. Now, I've told you before, but do you remember me saying that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established? So one of the ways that you rightly divide the Word of God is by seeing it in the Word two or three times, and then you can put weight on it, put faith into it. It's a way that it helps us so that we don't wrongly divide the Word by putting weight on one scripture that may be only in there in one place. But when we see it by the mouth of two or three witnesses, we can put weight on it. So we see here that we've got testimony of the healing power of Jesus Christ through what he did for us at redemption. Three different places. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, since you're there, let's just go ahead to Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we can see some very interesting things just from that one passage. Jesus went about doing good. And what was the good? The good was he was healing all. Was he healing some? This passage says he was healing all. We can see from this his will. His will is to heal all. That's his will. and he was going about doing that. Now, who had oppressed them? God to teach somebody a lesson? Had God oppressed them to teach them a lesson? No, that's not what the word says. What the word says is that the devil had oppressed them. So what Jesus was doing is he was loosing them from the bonds of the devil or the oppression of the devil. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Jesus is willing to heal all. Turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. I love teaching on healing. I've had the blessing of being healed by God quite a few times. And I'm so thankful that he made provision for us that we can be healed. Matthew chapter 8, we want verses 1 through 3. Now, this is about the leper being cleansed. And again, what we're looking at is the will of God. What is the will of God? Because you may need to convince somebody using the scripture that it is God's will for them to be healed. Because if they think that this is their quote-unquote cross to bear through life, or that God is teaching them things through the sickness, then they're certainly not resisting the devil. What they're doing is they're allowing the sickness because they don't know they've got a right to stand against it, or that it would even be God's will for them to stand against it and resist the sickness. So let's look at this. This is where Jesus ministers to the leper. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. If you're willing. And it's interesting, we don't see anything mentioned about the faith here. He was just questioning Jesus about his willingness. And Jesus left this account for us in the Word so that we could see his will to heal. I am willing, be cleansed. There's his will. He is willing. Now, as we continue down in that same chapter, let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus had come to Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and waited on him. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. How many did he heal? All. And we also noticed that he cast the spirits out. And what did he use to cast them out? His word. He used his word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. So they brought him many that were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all who were ill. Now, why did he do that? And if we continue in verse 17, we're told why he did that. In order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. What he was doing is modeling or demonstrating what he was here to do. What he was showing them is, I'm going to show you that it's going to be fulfilled. What was spoken of me, he said. And what he was showing them is that he took the infirmities and carried away the diseases. Now, it's past tense even right there. Why? Because it was prophesied about him that that's what he would do. And so he was showing them even what was to come. But even in showing them what was to come, they were saying, this prophecy will be fulfilled. This is what Jesus was here to do. One of the things he was here to do was to provide a means for healing for the children of God. Yeah, salvation. But in salvation, if you study that word out, it's sozo. It means whole, inclusive, everything, nothing missing, salvation. Well, so if salvation is to be complete, then healing needs to be part of that. Healing needs to be in there, and healing is in there. But if people don't know that that is a benefit that comes with salvation, then they can go without it. They can receive him as Lord and Savior, but if they don't know they can be healed at the same time too, then they don't necessarily have that benefit. So people need to be taught. They need to be taught the benefits that they have in Christ. One time, when I was in Oklahoma, I'm going to share this because I think that this will help you, and this isn't to embarrass anyone, especially not me. I'm going to share this with you because I think this will help you. When we were in Oklahoma, we were attending a big church, and it was a faith-filled church, and it was a faith-filled atmosphere. And my years as a young woman, I had had very painful female cycles, very painful. where I was taking lots of the pills they can provide for you and over the counter, but still taking those. And it even got to the point where those weren't sufficient. And a lot of times I would wake up in the middle of the night in just agony and have to get out of bed. And I'd be trying to stretch and find different positions on the floor and crying in such severe pain. So that went on for a couple of years where it was bad like that. And we happened to be going to church in Oklahoma. And one day, it just happened to be that time, and I walked into the church service, and I was in pain. I hurt. My back hurt. I hurt. It was painful. And I walked into the service, and when I walked in, the pain lifted from me. And I thought, well, gee, that's interesting. Isn't that nice? Sat down. Great message. Great service. Thought, wow, I feel wonderful. This is great. And then, you know, gathered my stuff and got ready to leave and walked out of the building. And as soon as I walked out of the building, I could start to feel that pain coming back onto me. Literally, that fast. I left the building, and when I walked in, it was a faith-filled atmosphere. It was charged. But I'm thinking to myself, this must be what heaven's like. I mean, just either faith-filled, love-filled, but this kind of wonderful atmosphere and presence. I left the building, and I could just feel it coming back onto my back. I could feel the pain starting. And it dawned on me, because I had never thought of it as being a sickness before. I just, well, you know, it was just part of life, and just buck up and deal with it. Press on. I never thought of it as being a sickness until that happened. And then I realized, I don't have to have that pain. That pain doesn't have to come with this package. I can be a full female and not have that kind of pain. Now, it's interesting that I'm bringing this up because what it did provide for me was an opportunity to exercise my faith and learn how to walk by faith. Because, see, while I was in a faith-filled atmosphere, I had the benefit of a corporate anointing or a corporate level of faith. And because that faith level was so strong in that corporate building, I was freed up. But as soon as I left the building, I was on my own. And then the pain started to come back. So I had to learn how to stand against that myself. And so I knew what to do. I knew the scriptures, and I started quoting scripture, rebuking the devil, commanding the devil to keep his pain away from me, and then claiming that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Himself bore my infirmities and carried away my diseases. And it was a battle. And it was a battle, and I had the opportunity to fight that for a couple months. But after a couple months, I think when the enemy realized I wasn't going to give up and I stood my ground and I kept thanking God for the healing, I received the healing and then had no more pain. Now, it's interesting, and this is interesting because you can learn some things about healing from this. There were a couple times through the years where it seemed like that tried to come back on me and pain would try to start to then come again. Now, we're talking about an opportunity every month, just a few times. That would try to come back on me, and then I would have to stand my ground in that. Again, I count this as a joy before the Lord because it taught me how to exercise faith for healing. And as I stood and I said, oh no, Mr. Devil, I refuse you. This is the temple of the living God. You will not mess with me. You're not putting pain on me. God doesn't want it. I knew God didn't want it. I knew because of the Word, but I knew that revelation came after being in a faith-filled atmosphere. It was like, okay, this is what the presence of God is like in manifestation. In the presence of God, we know there's fullness of joy, right? In the presence of God, there is no pain. There is no pain. So I had the opportunity to walk that out and start to learn how to battle and stand and fight the good fight of faith for myself. How to believe the Word of God. I never saw it as a sickness. I hadn't stood against it. But then I had the opportunity to start standing against that, and I have no problem with that area at all. As a matter of fact, it's amazing the difference. It's amazing. And yet, and this may be something that some of you may minister to, and then I'm not saying this to embarrass you, but the same principles apply to healing, to minister healing to someone. There's sometimes they've got to stand and know what their rights are, know what the Word of God says, and fight the good fight of faith. Nobody ever laid hands on me when I was in that church building. It was simply the presence of God, that faith-filled atmosphere. So what can we learn from that? there are times where people have gone into corporate meetings where lots of believers are gathered, and they've gone up front to have hands laid on them, and they've been healed. They've received healing. But then I've heard accounts where then they later will say, I guess I didn't really get healed because it came back. But see, they did get healed. There was an impartation of the healing power of God that did deliver them and set them free. What happens is if they don't know to stand and resist the enemy from trying to come back, they can lose their healing. Now, this is one reason why it's actually good to get healed anyway and get healed. But it's really good to get healed by your own faith because you don't lose it. You know how you got it, and you know what you have to do to stand in that place of healing and resist the work of the devil. So you'll hear people going to these huge crusades, and what's happened? They're in a huge faith-filled atmosphere with the presence of God and a corporate anointing that's so strong that a lot of times those symptoms lift in that presence. And then they leave, and then they think, well, they didn't really get healed because it starts to come back on them. But they did receive healing. They just now need to learn how to stand and guard the healing that they received. All right, so we talked about different types of healing. All right, let's keep going. Satan is the author of sickness. In John 10:10, it says that the thief, which is the devil, cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is not God's job description. That is the devil's. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So if there is anything that seems like stealing, killing, or destroying, it is not of God. And pain's included in that. Pain can be a warning sign to warn you about something, but an ongoing symptom of pain is not a blessing from God. Go ahead and turn to Luke 13:11-16. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. So what caused the sickness? God? No. And she was bent double, bent over, and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, Woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands upon her. So we see the laying on of hands here, right? We talked about that as being a means of receiving healing. And immediately she was made straight again and began glorifying God. Now, then the synagogue officials start to question Jesus. But in verse 15, it says, But the Lord answered him and said, You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this went, why? Because he had done this on the Sabbath. And they thought on the Sabbath he should be resting, right? Isn't it nice to know that Jesus isn't religious? Isn't that silly? I mean, should they not eat on the Sabbath either? I mean, that's silly. And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom, now who bound her, Satan hath bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? So what we can see from here, again, who causes sickness? It's the devil. Who's healing sickness and setting people free? So Satan had her bound, and what was Jesus doing? Setting her free. He was loosening her. Jesus had already paid the price for the redemption in the new covenant. Jesus said that this woman was the daughter of Abraham. Now, we know that there was healing under the old covenant because she was the daughter of Abraham, meaning he's saying, you know, under the old covenant, she's the daughter of Abraham. She's got a right to healing. She's got a right to be set free. But not only was she a daughter of Abraham and got ministered to and received healing and was set free, but what about us? We have the new covenant, which is a better covenant established on better promises, and the scripture tells us that it's established on better promises. And if God's people could be healed under the old covenant, how much more under a new and better covenant? Now, we should never allow ourselves to be bound by Satan, because in Galatians 3:29 it says, If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So not only do you have a right to partake under the new covenant, but also under the old covenant, because under the old covenant, we're still called Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:7 says, Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So, in other words, if we are in Christ, we are children of Abraham. So we've got a right to the blessings and promises that Abraham had, as well as all those under the new covenant. Now, God said, I will take sickness away in Exodus 23:25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. We can see again, what is God? The healer. He's the one that wants to bless. He's the one that wants to restore. He's the one that wants to bring the healing and bring the deliverance and loose us from anything we got ourselves into. Why do sometimes sickness come? Sometimes sickness comes as a result of sin. God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 28:15, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, that does not mean that God causes curses. It means they are allowed. And there's a difference there. If somebody isn't obeying the Word of God and isn't walking in the Word of God, they can open themselves up to wrong things. Just as if somebody doesn't walk in love and they choose to hate someone and walk in unforgiveness and bitterness, they can open themselves up to something. But when we follow the Word of God and we obey the Word of God, we are under that umbrella of protection, or as Sue was talking about it, like that, we're in that love bubble, that bubble of protection that comes from God. So, therefore, I say to you, if you mess up, be quick to repent and get right back into that love bubble. What about this? What if somebody messes up and they just didn't realize what they were doing was as bad as it was? Sometimes somebody can start in sin and do something a little bit, and there's no demons involved in it because they're just choosing to do it and they're yielding themselves to doing something. But what can happen is if they continue in that long enough, they can then open themselves up to demonic activity or to demons. Okay, I'm going to give you some specific examples. Pornography. You may look once, you may look twice, you may look three times. But if it's in a continued process, then you run the risk of opening yourself up to a demonic power or like a spirit of lust that then grabs a hold, and then it's no longer just you choosing to look at that, but it's now like a being pulled, and you're trying to get away from it, and it's pulling you, Why? Because you yielded to it so much that you gave place to something. Now, there's hope, because we serve a good God. You repent, and then you stand against that thing. But you may feel like, how do I get away from this? Because this pull is so strong. This just feels so strong. And it may be a strong pull, because there may be more involved than just now your will. You've got to break that. So how do you do that? Well, you confess, you repent, you tell God you're sorry for the sin, and then you stand against that thing. Stand against it in the name of Jesus. And you may have to stand firm and fight the good fight of faith for a couple days, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. It's like anything. It's like an addiction. It's like cigarettes. It's like anything else. You know, once or twice, not a big deal, not habit forming. But somebody, if somebody continues too long in something like that, suddenly something's got a hold of them, and it's more than just venom. So you got to get free from that. So the battle is really in the first couple days to the first couple weeks of standing against that thing. So I'm going to pray for you all right now, okay? And we're going to believe God for deliverance right now. Anybody that needs to be delivered from anything, any addictions, anything. See, because when Jesus heals, we also see that he sets people free. He loosens them from anything. So you're just going to hook your faith up with me, and we're going to be in agreement. And because we know we can do that, because in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, it says, if two of you on earth ask and agree, ask their Father and agree, it shall be done for them. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray and agree that everything you are set free from, everything. I may not know what you need to be set free from, but whatever it is, we're going to believe that you're set free. Any habits that you may have that you don't want to have anymore. It can be eating, right? Eating can be an addiction if somebody's eating for the wrong reasons or eating wrong foods. Okay, so whatever it is. And we're not here to judge the things. You know, we all stand before God and give an account, right? And I don't know your background. You don't know my background. But we can do is stand together in faith and in agreement. So we're going to pray right now, okay? We're going to believe, God, that you're going to be delivered right now from anything you need to be delivered from, anything you want to be delivered from. Here's the key. You need to want it, though. There's a difference between just being passive in this or being aggressive with your faith. You need to want it, okay? Everybody with me? Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, I stand with these students. And I stand for myself, too, God, that if there's anything for me, God, that we stand, Father God, together in agreement, Father, in accordance with your word in Matthew, Father, chapter 18, verse 19. You said, if two ask and agree, it'll be done for them by the Father in heaven. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I say, be loosed in Jesus' name. All sickness, all infirmity, anything that causes death, be removed in Jesus' name. Anything that causes decay, premature decay of the physical body, be removed in Jesus' name. Any addictions, any strongholds, be removed in Jesus' name. 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 Total and complete freedom in Jesus' name. Total and complete freedom in Jesus' name. Total and complete freedom in Jesus' name. Yeah, now stand, now stand. Ha ha ha, ha ha ha. Go ahead. Kodi yakatada ababa ha yokotoda oshno. Now you clean out your house. You clean out your house. Anything that you know that isn't right before God, you clean it out in Jesus' name. Clean it out. You know what? There's more. Keep drawing on that anointing. Because if you want to set others free, you've got to be free yourself. Kodi didi behe yokotoda oshno. Healing. Ha 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 ha. Healing. Say this with me. I am free. Who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. He set me free. So I am free. I walk free. I live free. I am free. And I use the freedom to set others free. In Jesus' name. Amen.